In the early 1940s, when George Takei was a child in Los Angeles, his family was forcibly relocated and incarcerated in camps in Arkansas and Northern California during the Japanese-American internment. Despite being U.S. citizens, he and his family and thousands of other Japanese Americans were stripped of their rights and branded enemies. For George Takei, it was a betrayal of American values, and it defined his childhood and later his role as a civil rights activist.
Space, a final frontier.
Now you might recognize George Takei as Sulu from Star Trek.
Mr. Spock has orders to kill you, Captain. Will succeed.
In recent years, he also starred in the Broadway musical Allegiance, inspired by his family's experience during the internment. And as an openly gay Asian American actor, he's become a prominent face of the LGBTQ rights movement, using social media and humor and geek culture to push back against homophobia and bigotry. Today, we're basing our show around these questions. What does it mean to be American? And what are American values? And it turns out that those are pretty complicated questions. By the way, in Spanish, America, or América, refers to both continents of North and South America, which can cause some confusion. But for today's context, we're going to be using the term American to refer to people from the United States. And so to start us off, I recently spoke with George Takei about his family's experiences, and he talked about what it means to be part of American democracy. George Takei, it is great to have you on Latino USA. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's wonderful to be here with you.
So you talk a lot about the internment and how it affected your life. Your family basically rounded up by armed soldiers, by American citizens who were essentially just like you and forced into camps. So what do you remember about that time?
My actual experience in imprisonment was one that, you know, I was 5 years old. I adjusted to. Children are amazingly adaptable. I still remember the barbed wire fences that confined me. I remember the sentry tower with machine guns pointed down at us. I remember the searchlight that followed me when I made the night runs from our barrack to the latrine. And for my parents, that was an invasive light, a degrading, a humiliating light. But for me, as a five-year-old running to the latrine, I thought it was nice that they lit the way for me to pee, you know. So to be very honest, my very real memories of that imprisonment was playing with the other kids, exploring, catching ants and putting them in a jar filled with dirt, memories like that. But when I became a teenager, I was reading civics books and history books and reading about the shining ideals of our democracy, our freedom, our liberty, our justice. And I couldn't quite reconcile that with what I knew to be my childhood imprisonment.
Now, during that imprisonment, George, because of wartime hysteria, you and your family were actually considered the enemy.
We were literally labeled enemy aliens. My mother was born in Sacramento. My father was a San Franciscan. We looked like the enemy, and so we became labeled, categorized as the enemy.
Essentially, it's impossible to reconcile American ideals, these American ideals of freedom and justice, with that kind of racism and hatred. So, were you angry?
So I had many after-dinner conversations with my father, I challenged him a lot. And I to this day, regret much of the challenges I made to him, because he was the one that suffered the most in our family.
What were you challenging your father on?
Why did you go, Daddy? I would have gone downtown and I would have protested. I would have fought it. And my father, you know, was deeply wounded by that. But it was that same man who lost everything in the middle of his life, who explained to me about our democracy. And he told me the story of this attorney general in California, right after Pearl Harbor. He said, we have no reports of spying or sabotage, and that is ominous, because the Japanese are inscrutable. You don't know what they're thinking. So it would be prudent for us to lock them up before they do anything. The reason why he took that position when he knew better was because he was ambitious. And my father told me that was his fallibility. And sure enough, he became very popular for that stance. And that man, that former attorney general, that former governor of California, went on to be the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States. His name is Earl Warren, the great, in quotes, liberal Supreme Court Chief Justice.
Where do you, you know, in these moments where we are being challenged, where do you go to find optimism in the face of hysteria that Americans and America does so well?
As my father said, our democracy is dependent on people who cherish the ideals of democracy and actively participate in the process, because we have a history of not quite being true to those ideals.
It seems like you're incredibly optimistic, George, about...
You don't believe my optimism.
No, I admire it. I admire it.
One afternoon, my father took me downtown to the Adlai Stevenson for President headquarters, and he said, "This is how democracy works." I had listened to Adlai Stevenson's speeches on the radio. He was an inspiring speaker. And to be there with other passionate people who were working day and night to elect Governor Stevenson of Illinois, the President of the United States, gave me an understanding of what a participatory democracy was. Because resentment means that you're already defeated. You can't get anything done. And in a democracy, rules of the game is majority. You work with others. The founding fathers who articulated those ideals kept other human beings as slaves. Women didn't have any rights under the founding fathers. But because determined women challenged and debated and marched for equal rights of women, that now we have equality for women. And at this point in America in 2016, we have the real possibility of a woman becoming the President of the United States. Here we are at this point in 200 plus years of this country that started out with high ideals, but very little of that applied to the majority of people. And yet we are making progress. And even looking more focused, I'm a gay American, a gay Japanese American. My ethnic community is very conservative. And so, you know, being gay, in the Japanese American community, there's that saying, the nail that sticks out gets pounded in. And yet I stuck out and I advocated for equality, as the history of this country does. State by state, we started getting marriage equality. And so in just my focused, limited lifetime, not the big scope of American history, we've made amazing progress.
So you talk about being gay, which now is a really big part of your activism, activism on behalf of LGBTQ rights. But did you ever talk to your dad about coming out? And did that actually kind of influence your decision to speak out and become an activist?
I was a reticent activist. I was someone who had the regular father-son dialogue. And as I said, sometimes it got pretty heated. And I feel badly about those times that I think I hurt my father a lot. In those debates, there were times that he just got up and walked into the bedroom and closed the door, and I realized I'd hurt him. And so I felt like knocking on the door and say, "Daddy, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that." But I didn't. And I thought, well, I'll apologize tomorrow morning when we're fresh and awake. And when tomorrow morning came, it was awkward, and I didn't. And for some of those mornings when I didn't apologize, it's a great painful regret that I have in my life. You know, my hero, and I hurt him. But he was an example. He was hurt many times in his life, and he was still able to give me guidance. and take me downtown to the Hadley Stevenson for President headquarters, and he's my inspiration. And I was silent on being gay for a long time. In fact, I never came out to my father before he died. I came out very late in life. And that also gave me the determination to make up for that silence with my father. Another way of saying, I apologize, Daddy, that I didn't come out to you, because I know, I'm sure he would have understood. Because you pay a price and you realize that you have to keep paying that price. In part, apology to my father, but the other part, to his belief in the ultimate prevailing of justice under the system. He's the one that guided me into understanding what it means to be an American.
And George, actually, can you just say, what is your dad's name?
Takekuma Norman Takei. And my mother's name was Fumiko Emily Takei. And they are my heroes.
George, I just want to say thank you so much for being a central part of American history.
Well, thank you for this opportunity to have a very heartfelt conversation.
And to hear more thoughts from George Takei, visit Latino USA. And there you can watch my Facebook Live interview with him.